Hey everybody, welcome to another From the Vault classic episode of the Brian Keane Podcast. Today's episode first aired on the 4th of May 2020, and that is with Niamh de Bruin on blogging, counting calories and lifting weights. This was one of these episodes that I got so many messages off the back of, particularly from girls who had a lot of misconceptions and females who had a lot of misconceptions around nutrition and around training. And Niamh was able to break down her mistakes in today's episode and shone a little bit of a light on some of the common mistakes that a lot of people will make. So love this episode myself and got great feedback from it. Also, if you're enjoying the podcast, either this episode or any others, please leave a rating and a review. It would help massively. It's my ask for today. And if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you're listening to podcasts, just leave a rating for the show. And if you feel really inclined to do so, a review would be amazing as well. That's my ask for today. But hopefully you enjoyed today's episode that first aired on the 4th of May, 2020. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm delighted to be joined today with my guest, Niamh de Bruin. Niamh is a fashion, fitness, beauty and lifestyle blogger. Originally from Limerick, she now lives in Kilkenny with her fiancé, TJ. She's getting married at the end of this year and her recent blogs include a big focus on wedding-related topics. So in today's podcast, we will be diving into all things fitness-related for wedding prep and so much more. Niamh, welcome to this long overdue podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I can't believe that I'm on it because I've been such a fan of the podcast, like even before I started blogging. And to be honest, it's just a bit surreal for me. So this is like a bit of a pinch me moment because your podcast is so popular and it's one of my go-to. So I'm just so happy to be a guest on it.
I love it. I'm looking forward to chatting properly. Tell everybody listening a little bit about you, your backstory and what got you into the world of blogging.
So, God, I get so awkward when I'm asked this question because I don't really know how I got into it. Like, I used to go out kind of when I was single, out on a Saturday night, posting my Saturday night weekend outfits. And there was always questions around, oh, where did you get that? And kind of my social media, I think before blogging blew up, I think I had about 6,000-7,000 followers on Instagram, but I just thought nothing of it. Then the blogging world got kind of more and more popular and I saw other people doing it and I said, you know what, I'm kind of doing it anyways, but I'll just put more focus into it. And when I started putting focus into it, when I started my blog in November 2018, come December 2019, I was after hopping from about 12,000 followers up to 30,000. So I kind of saw that there was an interest there and people were interested in the content that I was putting out and what I was up to and stuff. So I've just kind of kept it up a bit. Like, it is hard work because I do work full time as well and trying to plan the wedding and trying to kind of do all my own gym work and then obviously spend time with my fiance and my family. But I enjoy it.
What changed with the jump in followers? Did you have a different type of content that you were putting out or were you just more regular with the content? What was the, or can you on hindsight look back and go, that was the reason for the huge jump in a short period of time?
I was a lot more consistent with my posting. I wasn't just posting on, like, not that I would have been going out every Saturday night. Like in the past, I could have posted maybe my outfit from going out on a Saturday, then I mightn't have posted again for 3 weeks. I was a lot more consistent in my posting. And since meeting my fiance, I've kind of, he's owns a gym here in Kilkenny and in Galway. So obviously that was a big part of our lives. So I kind of got a lot more into fitness. I started educating myself a lot more on it. And I started doing a small bit of fitness content online as well and talking about kind of what I was eating, how I was training, and people were interested in seeing it.
Yeah, one of the things that I want to pull back on, what got you into fitness, and for anyone that's listening, TJ Reid's Health and Fitness Gyms in Galway and Kilkenny, that's the gym she's talking about, because you do a lot of work posting and cross-posting your fitness content on there. But what got you into fitness first, Niamh? Did you play sport as a kid or did you go straight into the gym, or what was your kind of story like in terms of actually your origin story for fitness?
I suppose I was actually a swimmer, so I swam at the Limerick Swim Club and that was intense. It was kind of 4 or 5 days a week. It's really funny actually when you move to Kilkenny and people hear the name de Bruin, because I think Michelle de Bruin, the Olympic swimmer, is originally from Kilkenny. So a lot of people here actually think that I'm her daughter and people have said it to TJ, oh, cool, you're engaged now to Michelle's daughter. And TJ just kind of is like, oh yeah, wrong person. But I used to, how it started, I suppose I used to be a swimmer. Then my parents always made sure we were really active with whatever activities they could get us into, horse riding, community games, athletics. My dad, both my parents are really big into sports, so there was always a huge focus on being outside and being active. But I suppose it wasn't really until I moved to Australia in 2014. I think they were a bit ahead of Ireland in terms of the fitness, kind of where it stood. So there's over there, there's always a huge focus on it. The great weather, you always saw people outside, these females and males with great bodies, and it definitely put it more to the forefront for me while I was living over there. So I joined a gym when I was over there, but I had no clue about nutrition. Then I moved home and I kind of started doing spin classes because I didn't really know where to start. I was literally like, the thoughts back then of me going into a gym and lifting weights, I was like, there was no way I was going to do it because I didn't have a clue. It was embarrassing for me. I felt that people would be judging me when I went in there. So I did a lot of spin classes. But then I kind of took it upon myself to like research more into better kind of smarter ways of training. And that's when I kind of got into weight training. And obviously then that coincided with me meeting TJ, who's so into fitness and health.
Yeah, I could talk to TJ all day about it. He's going to be on the podcast. That's why we had an inside joke for everybody listening that Niamh's on the podcast before TJ, because me and TJ have been trying to organize the podcast for months for this podcast. He's been on the GA podcast. I'm going to double back on the training misconceptions around, you know, going from spinning into weights. But you mentioned there no clue about nutrition. So I want to stay on this topic for a minute. When you mean no clue about nutrition, what did your eating look like during that time, either in Australia or when you moved back first, before you kind of got your head around different nutritional protocols, which we'll obviously go into now what you're currently doing, but what did your eating look like back then?
I suppose I just had absolutely no regard for calorie intake, calorie in versus calorie out. I didn't know that certain foods were a lot more dense, calorie dense. I didn't know that like fat, in 1 gram of fat there was 9 calories versus 4 calories in 1 gram of protein and carbs. Just small things like that, and I feel really strongly about it, that it should be taught at a very young age, because if we look at a lot of our habits and we think where they kind of stemmed from, it was from our youth. So I think I would have loved as a younger person to have been taught and educated about all this, so that growing up that I have those tools instead of kind of aimlessly eating and putting on unnecessary weight, because I was carrying a lot of unnecessary body fat, and it was just down to not having any regard for calories in versus calories out. I didn't know what calories were in a food. I didn't know what I should be eating on a daily basis to maintain my weight, to lose weight, to gain weight, which I obviously have a lot more insight into now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. Like, that's something that I'm doing with Holly now. Like, she's only 4, but trying to get her to understand that certain foods are better than others. Like, I have no food restrictions. Thankfully, me and our mother have a very good relationship in that sense on, we don't do food restrictions. It's like, you can eat chocolate and you can eat sweets, but realize these aren't good food choices. And it's more arming them with the tools. And I think as someone that worked obviously in the educational system as a primary school teacher, it's what I used to try and do with my kids in there too. So that's something that we'll put a pin in for now, because I could go off on a complete rant on that. But I'm curious, when you started to look into your nutrition and your diet and calories, etc., was that and I ask this question because it's very different for each person anytime it comes up, was it a case of there was like one catalyst moment where you were eating a certain way and you read a book or listened to a podcast or was talking to a person or had a conversation? Was there a catalyst moment that made you think, oh, I'm doing this nutritional thing wrong? Or was it a gradual process where you gradually increased your nutritional knowledge to the point where it is now? What did that look like for you? Was it just that one moment, or was it something that happened gradually over time?
No, so like, as you know yourself, like, I went through your 12-week program, and that was really, really useful, because I suppose it taught me that to kind of lose body fat and to gain muscle mass, you weren't having to massively restrict calories, you weren't having to cut food groups out. It was all about balance as opposed to restriction. As you said yourself, you can have your chocolate, but like, don't have 12 bars, you can have your one and get your kind of craving satisfied from that, but then focus it on like hitting your protein macros for the day, hitting your fat macros for the day, hitting your carb macros for the day. So there wasn't kind of one moment where like it just hit me. It was kind of, it was a gradual thing. And it came with listening to more podcasts, reading more books. Like, I'm such a fan of your book, The Fitness Mindset. Like, I've bought it for my mom, I've bought it for my sisters, because they kind of were at the stage that I was at, where I just did not have a clue where to start. And I didn't understand what a macro was, and didn't know what a micronutrient was. And like, I have a blog post on my website there about how I got into my fitness journey. And I have a link to, I think it's Amazon or Book Depository, to buy your book, because I found it, I found there was just so much value in it for me.
I didn't know that, by the way, just for everybody listening. I'm like, oh, that's so nice.
but it was just small things like that. And it was, I suppose, taking in information from trusted sources for me, like yourself. There's a few select people that I follow that I trust, that I've tried and tested their methods and they've worked for me. So I trust that, and that's what I've been continuing with. But there wasn't like one moment where it just like clicked in my head, where I was like, right, like it did take time, and I did have to put like effort into it, and effort into researching the different foods, and effort into meal prepping, and effort into planning out my weeks to incorporate my training. So if you're something you're looking to get into, like, you need to kind of say to yourself, right, I'm committed to this, but like it's going to be a change, but it's not going to be a hard change, and it's not going to be a negative change. And I'm not going to restrict myself.
You made a great point there that I want to kind of go back on, about having selected people that you follow. Was that something, and the reason I ask this is because I'm going to have a follow-up question based on how you respond, is so I won't say a problem, but was something that you did in the past, because this is definitely what I did, where you consumed information from too many different people and got confused on a given topic? Is that what led you down the route of just having certain selected people that you look to? Or was that the way you went into it full stop? You straight away, as soon as you switched into nutrition and learning about it, you just picked a handful of people? Or did you have that information overwhelm of too many people and you had to narrow it down? What did you do?
I suppose there is so much kind of different approaches to it. Like, somebody might use the keto diet and swear by it and it worked for them, but that's not to say it might work for the next person who tries it. It's all kind of down to trial and error with yourself. And like, what I'd say is, don't be afraid to try different things to find what works for you. And that's what I had to do. Like, as I mentioned earlier, like when I first started getting into fitness, I was just doing all spinning, all cardio, and I wasn't getting the results I wanted. So then I was like, right, this obviously isn't working, so I'm going to try something else. I'm going to try weight training. And that's what worked for me. And from that, like, the pages that I interact with, the pages I follow, the podcasts I listen to, the books I read, are all kind of people who kind of believe in the same things that have worked for me.
What was your barrier to weight training? And I'm curious on this one, as a coach and a trainer, I kind of have a little bit of a curse of knowledge at times, where to me it's so obvious that people should be doing resistance training and weight training irrespective of gender if you're trying to change body composition. But I'm always curious, because everyone has different barriers. What was your barrier to weight training? Why was it spinning? Was it, as you mentioned earlier, you were afraid that you didn't know what you were doing? But did you have any other barriers or misconceptions around weight training that stopped you getting into it sooner?
So kind of in my head, the ideal body that I would like to have is lean. Like, I never want to be skinny. I never want to look gaunt. That to me is not what I want for my goals. Like, my goal has always been to be lean. Like, my goal, when people ask me, my goal is to like bring down my body fat percentage and up my muscle mass to like obviously a healthy level and a sustainable level, which is the biggest thing. But I suppose my barrier to lifting weights was my conception. And I hate even saying this now, because I know how untrue it is that I did not want to get bulky. Weights, in my head, weights equals bulky and cardio equals like lean, even though that was totally wrong looking back now, because obviously it didn't work for me.
Yeah, they're two completely different training styles. And I was curious if that's what you were going to say, because I know there's a lot of girls that listen to this podcast who, if they're several podcasts in or 100 podcasts in, they know exactly where I'm going with this, that it doesn't. Like, you don't have the hormones that are going to jack you up and make you bulky unless you're having a massive intake of calories alongside that increase in weight training. When you made the switch over first, what did your first kind of program look like? Did you go from spinning to compound lift programs? Did you start with machines, dumbbells, circuit work? What did it look like at the very beginning?
At the very beginning, so I eased myself out of spin classes. I still do maybe one spin class a week because I enjoy it and I enjoy the sweat that you get from it. But I kind of verged away from doing a spinning class into maybe doing a circuit class that had weights, because I was still kind of getting that really kind of high heart rate while still incorporating weights, because I just wasn't able to switch from one to the other so bluntly. I needed to kind of do it gradually.
That's really good. That's really good advice for people who are particularly of the mindset where you have a hard-grained misconception around weights. I generally tell people to do something very similar, is to make the transition easier by going into, you know, a body pump class or something that where you're using resistance training, because when you start to see your body changing for the better, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. It's like, maybe these weights aren't going to make me super bulky. What does your current training look like?
So at the minute, like how I train now is I focus on like kind of my big compound lifts. My goal is to build strength at the minute. So I'm doing my big compound lifts, and then I'm kind of doing my accessory exercises then included in that. So I'm getting my RDLs, my deadlifts, my squatting, my chest press. I'm getting all of those exercises in, and then I'm kind of doing my accessory work then around them. I was doing a 3-day split, so legs one day, push one day, pull another day. And I found that I wasn't able to stick to a long term. I was finding it too boring working out one muscle per day. So now I do more of kind of, I might do like a deadlift exercise, and then I might combine that with a pull exercise or a push exercise. And I have found I've been doing that for the last year and a half, and I've stuck to it. So that's what works for me. The 3-day split wasn't working. I didn't stick to it. And then I found myself kind of like, I'm using the word loosely binging, and then not going to the gym at all. Whereas now I'm sticking to it, and it's something that I can sustain.
I think that is, you made such a valuable point there that I just want to pull out for everybody listening, that you have to, at the end of the day, you can look at a graph and you can look at statistics and you can look at programs and experiments and everything, and you know what might be best for a given person of your body weight, your body type, your gender, etc. But at the end of the day, it's about what you can stick to. Like, it doesn't matter if you're doing 80% of a program of what is the best thing that you should be doing. It's like, you should be doing push-pull leg split. It's like, well, if you hate push-pull legs and you want to do a full body where you do a deadlift at the start of every session or whatever that looks like, and that's what you can stick to, like, that's going to be the key going forward. So for everybody listening, I just want to pull that out, because I've been asked, and I'm sure you've been asked this as well, and even TJ's definitely been asked this, on what's the best training program. I'm like, okay, like, it opens up a can of worms that the best training program is the one that you enjoy and you can stick to, that's in alignment with your goals, very similar to your nutrition. What does your diet look like at the minute then?
My diet is quite good. So I have my calories per day, and that's something that people message me, like, one of my most commonly asked questions is, can you show us your food diary? Can you tell me how many calories you eat a day? And I refuse to do it, because my calories are based on my height, my weight, my activity levels, my goals. Like, a girl looking at me on Instagram might be like, yeah, that's what I want, but she could be 10 foot tall and might be a lot more active than I am, and everybody's so, so different. So I refuse to kind of say this how many calories I eat a day, because it's not a one size fits all. It's a very personal thing. And again, you have to find what works for you. Like, I have my calories set every day, but there's some days I could do like a really heavy leg session, and then I know that I can increase my calories a bit more that night. Kind of learning to manage this myself is just, again, from trial and error and from kind of educating myself. And like, I'm currently doing a diploma in nutrition on the side. And it's not to sell fitness programs, not to sell meal plans. It's literally just for myself, because I find it so interesting. Sorry, so back to your question. I totally went on a little rant there about how my diet looks at the minute. So in the morning, I will either have some, I'll have my breakfast maybe around 9 o'clock. Then I will go on and I'll have something else at around 12. I'll eat again around 3. I'll have a shake after the gym, and then I'll go home and have my dinner. And then I'll have my little snack at night time, because I'm such a sweet tooth. I have to have chocolate every day.
You're preaching to the converted there. I love that you gave the meal timings there, because another misconception similar to weights make you bulky is the, if I eat a lot of food, I'm going to put on weight. It's like, no, if you eat a lot of calories, you'll put on weight. There's a big difference there. Do you follow, obviously calories are your main thing. You make sure that you're, you know, a deficit, maintenance, surplus based on whatever your goal is at the time. Do you have any other nutritional principles that you follow? You mentioned protein intake, keeping that quite high earlier. Is there any other basic philosophies you follow? Would I be right in saying that flexible dieting is one, obviously, where you're factoring in your calories for chocolate each day? Do you have any other kind of go-to principles that, as opposed to I eat this breakfast, this lunch, this dinner every single day, you just have guidelines that you apply to yourself?
Definitely flexible dieting is the approach that I take 100%. Like, as I say all the time, it's all about balance, not restriction. If you want to reach a goal, it has to be sustainable. You have to be able to enjoy it, like me cutting out food groups or chocolate or sweet things that I like, it's not going to work for me. I've learned that from just over the years of kind of trial and error. So flexible dieting, sometimes I intermittent fast, but it's rare. So maybe if I had a big blowout or something over a weekend, the next morning I might like push out my breakfast or my first meal, just to kind of lower the kind of the eating window to kind of try balance it out from the day before. But I feel that I'm at a stage now where I'm able to do that because I understand calories. I understand now how foods and macros and all that work. Whereas maybe somebody starting out mightn't understand that and how it works.
Yeah, calories, this is what I've tried to preach so often on this podcast, is like there's very few nutritional guidelines you need to understand, particularly when weight loss or body composition is your goal, but calories is one of them. Like, it's basic unit of energy. It's the same as if you're trying to save money in a bank account. Like, it makes sense to track how much money you have in your bank account, because if you don't know that number, there's a chance you could overspend or, you know, go into debt.
Yeah.
Like, that's, yeah, your calories are exactly the same. So knowing that at least kind of arms you with a good tool on the front end for whatever goal that you're trying to do. You mentioned that you get asked about your calories a lot, frequently asked in, say, Instagram. This may not be a fitness question because I know you do a lot of blogging around fashion and beauty and lifestyle in general. But what are the top two most frequently asked questions you get? Is it health and fitness related? Is it lifestyle related? Is it a common trend that normally comes in through your DMs? What are your kind of most frequently asked questions?
So number one has to be what I eat on a daily basis and how many calories per day that I eat. What links up with that is kind of how much I train or how often I train, how I train, what I do in the gym. And again, like, I've no problem obviously in talking about what I train in the gym and how I train in the gym. But as you know, from kind of working with so many people, what works for me, again, mightn't work for somebody else. It's all about trial and error. And I know people kind of want results quick and they want something they'll stick to, but it's not that easy. It does take a while to figure out what works for you. Like, it took me, I'd say, maybe a year to figure out that what worked for me and that kind of doing a full body workout and whatever my Monday, Wednesday, Friday, that's what I'm able to stick to, and that's how I'm going to work going forward, because if I want to stay at this, I need to be able to enjoy it.
If you could go back to when you started first, so either when you moved out to Australia or even when you moved back, what piece of advice would you offer yourself around training or nutrition or even a combination of both?
So I suppose when it comes to nutrition, understand, as you said, the simple basis, calories in versus calories out. A second thing would be to understand that there is a difference between quality and foods, like getting 100 calories from a bar of chocolate and how your body processes that versus 100 calories from a breast of chicken and how your body processes that. They're both very, very different. And I suppose the third thing then is don't be afraid of weight training.
Yeah, I love it. There's great tips there. What's your sleep like, Niamh?
Yeah, good. Yeah. I get kind of about 8 hours a night. I know you've done stuff on like rapid eye movement and that, and I've listened to all of that. And the whole sleep thing is really, really interesting because I know it's such a big part of being able to kind of perform, and it affects your energy and all of that. But yeah, no, I have good sleep pattern.
Have you always been a good sleeper?
Yeah, I have. There might be some nights where I mightn't sleep if I have something on my mind or any of that, but all in all, I am a good sleeper. I've never really had issues with it, which I'm, I suppose, lucky, because I know like some people have really, really like have difficulty in sleeping and really bad sleep pattern. That like has a knock-on effect to everything. I know that if I don't get a good night's sleep, I'm tired, I'm lethargic, I'm moody. It affects everything. I don't want to train. I want to go home. I want to go to Domino's. Like there's all other knock-on effects from not getting a good night's sleep and not getting kind of the recommended rest that your body needs.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's just such a massive thing when it comes to recovery. So your sleep is pretty good, so you're obviously getting good recovery levels from that. What's your supplementation like? Do you have any go-tos that are ones that, I won't say you'd struggle to live without, but definitely ones that you're like, I would prefer not to live without these if I had the choice?
I suppose there's two big ones. So whey protein is a big one. To hit kind of my protein macros, I find it hard to hit it from food only, and protein shakes or putting a scoop of whey into my pancakes, something like that it's quick, it's easy, it helps me hit my macros. And the second one would be fiber, because I'm not a massive fan of vegetables, so my fiber is quite low, so I supplement with a fiber supplement.
What fiber supplement do you use?
Roca Healthcare.
Oh, I must look into that.
Oh God, there's a name for it. Sorry, Roca Healthcare is the name of the company I get them from. Psyllium Husk, that's it.
Oh yeah, 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 Psyllium Husk, very good. And what about the whey protein? Which brand do you use? Or do you rotate?
I kind of have a few of them I use. So I use the Herbalife Rebuild Strength for after the gym, but I wouldn't be using that and making my pancakes because it has a higher carb. It has carbs in the powder. So anything really I could, Kinetica, on nutrition, whichever one's at home really.
Yeah, they're all solid ones. And yeah. I'm not even allowed to talk about Herbalife, but I'm not going to say anything bad about it. Because it totally works as a supplementation. I have to clarify this every time I mention a juice bar company. I'm like, it's not the company that's the problem. It's the message that I give out with. I'm like, as long as you're putting it into a good nutritional plan, I'm like, there's nothing wrong with the supplement.
Yeah.
So just be mindful, because I know TJ is really good at that, on telling people that, look, it's about your nutritional food. Here's the supplements that will supplement what you're missing in your diet. I'm like, that's how the message should be put across. So I just want to go on record saying that here. So that's the supplements that you're a big fan of. I'm curious, because you obviously work full time, you blog, you have a very busy lifestyle. What does the first kind of 30 minutes of your day look like generally in terms of a morning routine?
Alarm goes off. I try not to snooze it because it's such a bad habit. But with my role, I work remote, but I actually wouldn't be able to work from home. I think like my home is like, it's different to my workplace. So I come into the gym, I use one of the offices here. So get up in the morning, I wouldn't have my breakfast straight away. I'd have it when I come into the gym. I kind of use the time in the morning driving in the car, I'll maybe plan a podcast, listen to the news. I'll come in, start my day always with a coffee, and then I'll have my breakfast with my coffee.
When do you train?
I train, it'll depend on my schedule. It's mostly 9 times out of 10, it's the evening time after work. I would love to get it done first thing in the morning, but where we're living, we're like half an hour from the gym, and I just couldn't see myself getting up that early. And I know you be off at the crack of dawn.
Don't recommend it though to everybody. It's definitely not for everybody.
Yeah. But in saying that, like when I do get my workouts done early in the morning, or if I have somewhere to be in the evening, I find that I feel great for the day once I get my workouts done in the morning. And I always say, geez, I'd love to do that more. But just, I have a routine. I get up, I go to work, I train in the evenings, I go home. That's my routine. That's what I'm used to. That's what works for me.
And do you change anything at weekends? Do you sleep in a little bit longer at weekends? Do you train at a different time, or do you try and keep the same schedule?
No, I find because of my body so used to getting up at a certain time, I'm always awake really early on the weekends, and I can't lie in bed very, very rarely that I didn't get out of bed till like 10:30 last weekend or the weekend before. And I was like, oh my God, I cannot remember the last time I did that. My body's so used to being up and doing things that kind of sitting there, kind of, I think I'd get a bit kind of fidgety, and I kind of need to be up and I need to be doing something, whether that's on a Saturday morning, getting up and emptying the dishwasher, cleaning down the worktops, just kind of putting on a wash, just kind of doing something. As you said, like I'm always so busy that I find it very hard to sit still.
Yeah, I was on Kim Constable's podcast yesterday, The Sculpted Vegan. She was on this podcast a couple of months ago. Awesome girl up in Belfast. And she's like, are you standing at your desk? I'm recording this podcast as I'm standing because I have a standing desk. She's like, it's the best thing I ever bought. It can go up and down, and I haven't put it down once since I got it. But like, if you're a fidgety person, I'm like, a standing desk is the best thing ever. Because you can just kind of fidget away, and it's like, you're not feeling like you're sitting down all day. I think it's an Irish thing.
I need to look into getting one of them.
Oh, amazing investment. I got it. Oh, I had Martin McDonald on the podcast and we were chatting about it off air, and I literally ordered it that day. And best piece of definitely after my sauna. I bought a sauna last year, which is just an amazing investment. I'm so happy with my sauna. But after that, this is like my next best purchase. I'm like, I can't believe I have been sitting at a desk for the last several years. I'm like, when you can just stand and move around, and it's brilliant. I'm doing all my writing, all my podcasts and everything from it now.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I highly recommend it. I'm curious, Niamh, you were very, very nice in recommending and talking and have recommended people to my book, which I'm very grateful for, and thank you for that. But I'm curious, is there any other books that you've read over the last, you know, 12, 18, 24 months that have most positively impacted your life, or any standouts that you come back to regularly that you're a fan of?
Yeah, for sure. There's Mike Matthews. I'm not sure if you follow him. He has a book called, or his handle is like Muscle for Life. He's got a book called Thinner, Leaner, Stronger. It's kind of geared towards women, and he's got a male equivalent of the book as well. I find, again, in the blog post that I mentioned earlier that I recommend your book in, I've also recommended his one. I just find it so good. There's so much information in it about training, about lifting weights for being female, about food. And he's quite like yourself. He puts out a lot of podcasts and a lot of content online. He's all for like the flexible approach, and I kind of like the message that he gives out. It's in line with kind of what you believe in yourself and what has worked for me.
Yeah, he's actually, I've got a list of people that I'm going to reach out to at some stage on the podcast. He's actually on that list. I have his book. I think it's Bigger, Leaner, Stronger is the version for men. Yeah, very, very highly recommended. Not necessarily geared towards me, but geared towards if I was 16 or 17 when I was starting my journey first, I'm like, this would have been a very helpful resource, because he goes, he writes very different books to me. His are very in-depth, very specific, whereas I try and keep it kind of here. This is all the basic stuff you need to know. Now you're going apply it, so they can work very, very well in tandem. What's your favorite? Your favorite genre to read?
When I do get a chance to read, it's normally stuff on like nutrition or stuff on fitness. To be honest with you, I don't read a lot of like fiction books or any of that. It's more stuff that, like, when I'm reading books, it's to learn something as opposed to for enjoyment.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. I even tried to make an attempt. I was chatting to my cousin recently, and she's I'm a reader. I get through a lot of books, but she just is the queen of it. She puts me to shame. But she splits fiction between nonfiction. I'm like, I just can't get my brain to read fiction books. I'm like, I watch the movie, or I go on Netflix. Yeah. Any other ones jump to mind in terms of fitness books that you're a fan of?
Oh God, you're putting me on the spot here now. I suppose I've got your new book as well. You very kindly sent one out to me, a signed copy. So I'm working my way through that one as well.
Yeah, it's a longer read, that one as well, compared to the fitness mindset, yeah.
They're kind of the main ones, to be honest with you. I'm not like, I do kind of, when I have the time, I will do a few pages or go back on stuff. There's one book that I have. Well, it's not really a book. It's kind of Daily Meditations, The Daily Stoic. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
That's it. Yeah, Ryan Holiday.
Yeah, and I bought the adjoining journal for it. It's like a blank journal. So you read the page that you kind of read the daily meditation, and then you kind of jot down then in the adjoining diary kind of your thoughts and your kind of feedback on it. And I find that really, really good as well. It's just, and it literally takes like not even 2-3 minutes, but it's just kind of helps put things into perspective sometimes if you're having a bad day, or kind of helps kind of click you into a better mindset.
Yeah, I did for about 6 months in 2019. So last year, I did the same thing. I was reading the Daily Stoic, and then I was doing the accompanying journal with it. I'm a big fan of Ryan Holiday stuff anyway. I think he's a very, very good at breaking down and modernizing some of the old Stoic philosophies into like modern day language and modern day speak. So it's way more accessible for people.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of that. Niamh, tell me, what are you most excited about right now? Am I right in saying, because I do want to pivot back onto the wedding and the prep, because I could be completely wrong, because you do a million and one things. Sometimes I get completely left-sided when somebody answers this question when they're as busy as you are. What are you most excited about right now, or what's the thing that's making you jump out of bed in the morning?
I suppose the big one this year is getting married in December this year. So that's kind of it is the highlight of this year. Yeah, really looking forward to marrying TJ.
How has your, this is something that I wanted to talk on, and I'm glad we're kind of getting to it now. How has your, I won't say preparation isn't the right word, but how has your training and nutrition changed in preparation for the wedding? Or have you built up such good habits over the last couple of years that you're just kind of cruising in as normal to the wedding? Or are you going to change something up, you know, even slightly or even drastically coming into the wedding? What's your kind of preparation or plan for that?
I kind of thought at the start of this year now, as I come January, like something will click in my mind, I'm going to be a lot stricter on myself. But to be honest, that didn't really happen. Like, I've built up good habits since November 2018, really, is when I kind of changed my approach to nutrition, and when I educated myself and just I had a lot more information. And I think like once you're equipped with the information then, and you're motivated and you put that into play, it kind of cruises along nicely for you. So like I have put good habits in place. I have educated myself to understand what I need to do. Granted, I'm probably not as strict as I will be kind of in the months coming up to it. In terms of maybe if I was going to say, right, I train 4 days a week, if I'm feeling tired, I might say, right, sure, I've done three this week. That's plenty. Like I'm kind of, I think that I'll be a bit more motivated to push myself if I'm feeling a small bit lazy some days closer to the wedding. But I feel like I've kind of educated myself enough and I've kind of started putting good habits in place over the last kind of 12, 16 months that I don't need to make drastic changes. I don't think like it's not as though like I need to lose loads of weight or do this or do that. Like I'm very content in how I am. But it's just kind of you're always kind of striving to improve.
Yeah. And having that date, as you said, I'm a big fan, and you know this from listening to the podcast, of manifesting a date, even if you don't have one, you know, in the upcoming season or the upcoming calendar year. Like set a date for, I want to lose this amount of body fat, or I want to look this way, or I want to at least maintain up until this point, because otherwise it's too easy to fall off track. Like, you know,
for sure.
Like same thing happens to me. I'm 20, nearly 21 years training. I'm like, the same thing happens to me. I have to set regular goals. You mentioned habits there. I'm curious, as myself that's always trying to kind of iron out bad habits, and I still have at least 7 that jump to mind. Do you have any I won't say bad habit, but unsupportive habit that you're like, I'm probably going to get on top of that in the next couple of months? Anything like that that jumps to mind? You know, I know you're a good sleeper, you know, you're good, consistent with your food, but I'm curious, do you have any, it could be completely left field if you want to go left field, do you have any bad habit or habits that you're like, I could do with looking at that or adjusting that over the coming months?
Yeah, I suppose I'm a divot for going into the shop and buying like the big share packets of sweets. And I'm like, I will just take a few out and space it out. But I open the packet and I eat the whole thing. And I know that myself, like I'm only cutting myself going into the shop and pretending that I'll be able to like space it out and kind of have it as my treat every night. So kind of that's a bad habit I need to kick a small bit. I suppose I do eat a lot of, like, no, I don't eat a whole lot of takeout, but I find myself, I'm a bit lazy sometimes when it comes to cooking, because as like I'm busy, I have a lot going on, I want quick convenience food. And I know it's not supporting my goals, and I know that. So I suppose coming up to the wedding, I'll try to kick that habit a small bit, but still though, not restricting myself.
What are the share packets you go for? What are the chocolates of choice at the minute?
Oh, Minstrels, Maltesers, snack bars, like, oh, so many come to mind. I've such a sweet tooth. Like I could, and this is probably definitely one of my bad habits, where I would know that I like using my Fitness Pal or kind of just using kind of my knowledge of food and that, I might know that, right, I have 600 calories left for the day. I could go into the shop and be like, right, I can pick up a dairy milk, I can have a bag of potatoes, and I can have a can of this, and that's 600 calories. And while I know the quality of them isn't going to be as good as the quality of going home and making my dinner with my good kind of healthy carbs and fats and all of that, like sometimes I substitute my calories with chocolate as opposed to good food. So that is definitely a bad habit.
I could argue both sides of that though, because I don't know if you're anyways like me, but I, as someone that has that sweet tooth, that it's unbelievable. I question where my chocolate sweet tooth came from, but anyways, I digress. I was like, there's times when I'm like, right, I'm not going to have the chocolate now, I'm going to have proper food, and then I eat the proper food and I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to have the chocolate as well. You're like, you're way over on calories then. So I'm like, that's not helpful. I'm like, that's a bad habit. I think you making use of your calorie intake and enjoying certain foods gives you longevity and gives you sustainability. So I would argue it's not such a bad one.
You know, so it's all about perspective. It's how you look at it, isn't it?
Exactly. And this segues into my next question, which I wasn't going to ask, but I have a couple of things that I was going to touch on. But because of like the happiness in your voice and when you were talking about chocolate, what does the word happiness mean to you? What does, when I say happiness, what springs to mind?
The first thing I thought of was TJ. I suppose he brings a lot. I spend a lot of time with him. And just, I suppose, knowing that he's kind of healthy and knowing that my family are healthy, that's what brings happiness to me.
I love that. Tells you everything you need to know about you, your inner circle, and your loved ones. How did you meet TJ?
How did I meet TJ? So he had a friend that was studying a master's when I was doing my business degree in UL, and I met him once through that, but it was just a hello, how are you? And kind of that was it. And then a few years later, he followed me on Twitter, and I followed him back, and I actually can't remember the specifics. He must have reached out to me and asked me for my Snapchat name, because I started getting Snapchats from, he actually got my Snapchat name from the mutual friend from college, and I started getting Snapchats of like cows and things.
And I was like, oh. That's so deep.
So then I was like, the name is ringing a bell. And I was like, well, that's your man that I met like once before and who followed me on Twitter. And it kind of went from there, I suppose. I was living at Cork at the time, and eventually then he kind of asked me on a date, and he came down, and it's really a funny story. He collects, the way he was coming down from Kilkenny, he was kind of coming down by Waterford and Dungarvan, and I knew the side of Cork he'd be coming into, and I was living at the opposite side, and I was actually out and about that evening. I was getting a spray tan because I had a friend's wedding the next day, and I was like, do you know what, I'll get my spray tan, I'll go meet this chap, and look, that'll be that. And I rocked on, like, I was after getting a spray tan. I'm not sure, Brian, from your fitness days, you know about spray tans.
I unfortunately do, yeah.
I had a pair of, like, really loose, like, ga shorts on me. I had a zippy hair and a bun on top of my head and a pair of flip-flops. Like, no makeup, because when you get a spray tan, they spray your face and nothing on you. And I met him. He collected me in the car park in Tesco because I was getting my spray tan over by there, and it was the side of Cork he was driving into. And we just went for a drive, and we went to, I'm sure some of your listeners, if they are from Cork, will have heard of Casey's Chipper in Douglas, a really, really popular chipper in Cork. And he was actually playing in the All-Ireland final against Tipperary in 2015, about a week later or 2 weeks later. And he was like, oh, we should try to get like something healthy now. And I was like, yeah, this place is healthy. I was like, I'll get you a wrap. And I came out and the wrap was like shoved with like deep fried chips, and she just had to eat it to be polite. And then the rest is history.
Well, I think that was the year he won Hurler of the Year. So obviously you played a role in his All-Ireland final. It's like you fueled him with that food from the chipper. Oh, that's amazing. I'm just going to set TJ up when he's on the podcast. I'm going to title it like How to Seduce Pretty Girls with Cattle Pictures on Snapchat. Like that's going to be the title of the podcast. Oh, so good. Niamh, if you... Another question a bit out of left field that I like to ask when I'm chatting to friends. If there's anyone on the planet that you'd love to trade places with for a day, who would that be and why? It can be anyone, a celebrity, a person you know, someone you don't know. Who would you switch places with for a day and why?
Oh God, this is a really hard question. Why didn't you give me this before so I could have my answer prepared?
Yeah, because because it's no fun that way. I'm like, I'm always curious what comes up first. I'm like, because every time I answer questions on podcasts where I didn't expect them, I'm like, fuck, I should have said this answer. It would have been way cooler. But I'm like, it's never as good. I'm like, my first answer is always the best one. So that's why I apply it to the podcast.
Who am I loving at the minute? At the minute, I'm loving Billie Eilish, the singer.
Oh, I've gone outside my circle of competence when you mention anything to do with music. I've got the worst music taste on the planet. So
she's really young. I think she's only like 17 or 18, and she's like really blown up. And like for some reason, lots of her documentaries started popping up on my YouTube. So I started watching things, and I'm just fascinated by her and her story and all of that. So I think I'd like to trade like place with her to kind of get kind of an insight into her mindset.
Who online inspires you? Because obviously you document so many different topics between, you know, the fashion, fitness, beauty, lifestyle in general, and anybody that documents their life in terms of lifestyle, I'm always curious where their inspiration comes from. Where is that coming from you? Is it coming from other people? Is it coming from you just wanting to put out your message yourself? Is it a combination? Where is your information, or where is your inspiration for your online content coming from?
To be honest, I don't take like inspiration from other people's content. I just, like, I do my own thing. There's enough people out there kind of trying to replicate what's, and I do know, I do believe that successful people, as you say yourself, they leave kind of hints in that, and we can learn from that. But for myself, like with so many people online these days, to kind of set yourself aside, you need to be authentic and you need to kind of do you and not kind of be the same as every other person online. So to be honest, I don't really take inspiration from somebody else. I don't look at somebody else's social media content and be like, oh God, okay, that's what I'm aiming for. I'm just doing my thing.
Since I'm going to do one follow-up question before I ask my last question, because I'm curious, because there's people listening to this who
either would like to start a blog or do something along the lines of what you're doing, what advice would you offer those people that are considering blogging their life or blogging something they're passionate about, or not dissimilar to when I started my fitness journey? Even though I was working as a personal trainer, all I was doing was kind of documenting what I was doing in my own fitness life, and that kind of grew online. What advice would you offer to people who are looking to start a blog or to do something similar to what you're doing outside of the be authentic? Because I think that's brilliant advice. But is there anything else that jumps to mind or anything else you wish you knew in the beginning?
I suppose when you're putting content out there before you post it, or when you are posting it, for 80% of your content, you need to ask yourself, am I giving value in this? So obviously, if you're trying to get into that industry, you want people to engage with your page. And for somebody to engage with you, you need to be giving them something. You need to give them some value, whether it's, this is where I bought my dress from. You're giving somebody value because they might be looking for a dress. Talking to somebody about like your nutrition or how you train, you're giving them value by telling them what works for you.
Yeah, that value exchange is everything. I think business, it's business 101, but social media and blogging is not dissimilar to that. It's a value exchange on what you're putting out to the whoever it is that's following you. Last question, and you may need to kind of pinpoint us to where you are in your life when I ask this question, but if you go back in a time machine to your 18-year-old self, tell us where you were at that stage in your life. Were you in school? Were you in college? Were you working? What you were doing? And what piece of advice would you offer your 18-year-old self?
When I was 18, I think I was in college. Sounds so cliche, but just try to worry less. Everything works out for, everything happens for a reason, and everything will work out. I know at the time it doesn't seem like that, but I think you just sometimes just need to have faith. And I do strongly believe that everything does happen for a reason.
Would your default be to worry about situations if you hadn't done so much work on your fitness, on your mindset, etc.? Would your default be to be anxious and worry? Or is that something that you just kind of grew out of, you know, earlier on in life? Or is that something that you have to stay on top of daily?
It's something I do definitely have to stay on top of daily. I am prone to getting anxious and getting anxiety, but I have kind of research tools and things that have helped me. I have spoken to a counselor that has given me tools in the past. I did CBT therapy. And you do kind of get equipped with tools to, you do get equipped with tools, and it is something that you have to keep on top of. I found kind of cutting negative people out of my life and bringing my circle down and just spending time with people that kind of, that had my best interests at heart was a big thing. And limiting who you spend your time with, like, as they say, you're kind of most liked five people you spend the most time with. And I'm very happy with the five people I spend the most time with.
Love it. That is such an amazing note to leave it on. Niamh, can you tell everybody listening, and I've loved this conversation, and everybody that isn't following Niamh online, I highly recommend you go do that, especially if you're into anything along the lines of blogging, fitness, fashion, lifestyle, all of that. Can you tell everybody, Niamh, where is the best place for people to follow you? And I'll link those in the show notes on BrianKeenFitness.com and in the description for everybody listening to today's podcast.
My Instagram probably be the biggest one, at Niamh De Bruin. I do use my Facebook and my Twitter, but kind of Instagram is where I put most of my efforts.
Awesome. And your website, is it niamhdebruin.com as well, isn't it?
It is indeed. I have a little fitness section there that has stuff on. I have some blog posts on how I started my fitness journey and how to manage eating out when you're on a diet. And I put diet in inverted commas because I'm using the term loosely.
I love it. And I will link that on the show notes for everybody listening. Go check out those blogs. Go follow Niamh on Instagram. Go check out her Twitter and Facebook if that's where you spend your time. Niamh, thank you so much again.
Thanks for having me, Brent.
There you have it. Niamh De Bruin on blogging, counting calories and lifting weights. And how good is that story with TJ? Like, so I'm just going to send her some pictures of cattle. So it totally worked. I'm like, man, TJ, totally worked. So that's everything from today's podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed. If you did, be sure to take a screenshot of this podcast and tag me and Niamh on your Instagram stories. I'll catch you all next week.